coming to you alive through the power of the interwebs. Inside the Green Room Studio from the flagship source of the Earth Mix Garden Products Network, it's the At Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates, bringing you all the wisdom
and wit
you'll ever need to tackle your garden and your projects. Now broadcasting live from Bates Nursery and Garden Center at 3810 Whites Creek Pike, just 1 mile north of exit 19 off Briley Parkway.
Or 0.9 miles as the Josh drives.
Here's Josh Carey and David Bates.
Oh yeah, everybody knows what that music means. It's now time to climb your tree, don your loincloth, and survey the backyard, because you got to find a project, you got to lay it in the unmarked grave of history, and work off that tryptophan hangover, David Bates.
Yeah, there's a lot of people working that off today.
It's a Saturday morning tradition. We call it the At Home Show. My name is Josh Carey.
And my name is David Bates.
That's Michael Stevens.
Yo. Got Tyler Blankenship behind the camera there. Mm-hmm. He is, actually, he's way behind everything. He's just back there, but he's the one who does all the video side of it.
And the AV squad.
Right, and we are in a constant...
That's not a pejorative, by the way.
We are in a constant learning curve here, and we are hopeful that our guest this morning has their earbuds in so they can hear us.
Yes.
Perhaps they don't. so we'll let that go as it is. So he may have a hard time hearing our questions coming back to him, but he's got a couple of minutes to get that worked out. We're going to have Austin Lohan on talking about poinsettias and Christmas stuff, so he'll be up here shortly. But first of all, let's give it a look at the weather. And as the month rolls out, we are having changes. And today, of course, is Saturday, the 28th of November. And we're looking for a high of 55 degrees today, and it's going to be a fair amount of sun. A little cloudy starting out today, but it's going to be a partly cloudy, a low of 34 degrees overnight. Winds today will be out of the north of about 5 miles an hour. On Sunday, we're going to have a mostly cloudy day with rain coming in the afternoon, possibly as much as an inch of rainfall.
Oh, gee.
So that could happen. I don't know how much stock I would put in that. You know, we were supposed to get last week by the forecast perhaps as much as 2 inches of rain. We wound up getting about 2/10 of an inch of rain. So
the driveway got nice and damp at my house.
That was about it. We didn't even get, we had one rain event that was 2/100 of an inch. So it was not very much precipitation. We'll see how it goes. On Sunday, as we roll into Monday, look at that high temperature of 39 degrees for the high temperature.
Yay.
And it says rain/snow. There could be a few flurries on the back end. So, not everybody freak out at once. It probably will just be like a few flakes.
Now, every time somebody says something like that, it's just going to be a few flakes.
That's when
it turns into a darn snowstorm.
But fortunately, with everyone, with all the provisions that people have done,
Don't need to go to any of the local grocery stores.
They probably have plenty of toilet paper anyway.
Certainly.
So maybe they need eggs and milk. I don't know.
Have you guys, the stores you guys frequent, have they run out of toilet paper and stuff?
I haven't noticed there being a particular shortage of it, but I hear people talking about that they sense that people are hoarding stuff again.
A store close to me, I thought they were going to run out, right? I mean,
how many did you buy?
Oh, I didn't buy any because we're good. But when I walked in there, fully stocked shelves. But just in case, I ain't going to say where it is.
No, I haven't noticed that paper products are in particular short supply. But anyway, 24 for the low on Monday night, Tuesday morning. High of Tuesday with sunny conditions, 40 degrees. Mm-hmm. And 23 for the overnight low. Now, that means in areas like out here at Bates Nursery where that,
you're in the bowl.
We're in this little bowl out here. A lot of outlying places. Probably going to be in the upper teens. So be mindful of that. Wednesday, it starts to warm a bit, up to 49. 30 for the overnight low. And then looks like we've got some showers in store for a latter part of the week. And then perhaps some sunshine again by next weekend. Currently, it is 45 degrees and cloudy. here at Bates Nursery in the Music City.
Yeah, folks, 615-499-6690 if you want to ask a question. If you want to comment, you can text, and then Michael will get it immediately and get some things going. If you're watching on Facebook Live, please share it.
Yes.
If you're out on YouTube, we've got a notification this morning that you need to go out there and you need to subscribe to that and tell all your friends and neighbors, because we're below a certain threshold yeah. that
we need to increase by.
We're not even on the porch to approach the door of the threshold.
Looks like we need to increase our viewership.
About 916%.
Yeah, about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. About that. So, we're close, but not very. So, hopefully we're going to figure out how to work around that. Mm-hmm. And, with the ever changing set of rules that is social media, you never know what controls, rules, guidelines.
You signed up for it.
I did.
When you clicked that thing.
Actually, I signed up for it.
Well, when you click that thing.
In David's name.
Okay. In David's name.
So it's your fault, right?
Yeah, legally, right. It's your fault.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see if we can't.
We're going to do the show anyway.
We are.
I mean, whether you're.
Sure we are.
You just won't be able to watch it alive.
Well.
It will still be there. But that is really a cool way. If you have your television in the living room, why watch on the little 10-inch or 9-inch or 3-inch screen? Throw it up there.
So anyway,
YouTube's neat.
I may need to do some work to try to see if I can get folks to subscribe, mm-hmm. and then
click.
Perhaps we'll be able to continue to do that. Certainly hope so, but we'll find out after the first of the month, which is Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yep. It got here quick.
I mean, obviously it is, but I mean, it just feels like it should still be like a week out. In my head, Thanksgiving's always the 24th of November, even though it's not. It's the last Thursday.
No, but I'm with you on that. It kind of seems like it should be, because it's not a fixed date.
Mm-hmm.
Last Thursday.
The last Thursday of November, uh-huh. which, depending on how the calendar rolls, and this year it was really late in the month.
Uh-huh.
To what, the 27th? Is that what it was?
26.
26, so. Mm-hmm. Anyway, as the seasons and the calendar tends to go this year, it's been moving along quickly.
It's been odd.
It's been odd, and now as we approach the 12th month and the however many months we've been under the current corona thing that we're all dealing with, hopefully that with the all the talk of vaccines and all that, there is at least there's hope now that we're going to be able to find a way to get through this. And
light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes, hopefully so. So 615.
Not a train, though, is it?
No.
615-499-6690. That's how you can either call and leave a message, mm-hmm. or you can call and leave your number. We'll call you back. Or once we get your number, you'll show up on our caller ID, and we can talk to you that way.
And we'll know where you are.
You can go to the At Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates Facebook page. You can message us through there. So anyway, you want to connect, we're ready to talk to you. And otherwise, we'll just talk about what we want to talk about.
We do that anyway.
Yeah. And obviously, we're looking at a bit of a transitional theme, you know, since we know we've gotten safely beyond Thanksgiving now. Guess what's next?
Christmas.
Christmas is next. And, things poinsettia and ribbons and bows and berries and Christmas trees and all of the sort. All those things are the things that are coming up, and they'll be everyone's interest.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell the TV to go to HDMI 2 for us? This is a new feature. Yeah, let's see if we can make
go to HDMI 2.
A personal note here.
Yeah, she's so bossy, and she doesn't listen.
No,
she doesn't.
Just like Yard Boy.
Go to HDMI 2.
HDMI 2.
That's the question my son asked.
She doesn't understand.
She doesn't.
You were speaking English.
HDMI 2. Let's try this again. HDMI 2. VMI 2.
Body mass index of 2?
Hey, we're a health show now.
One. Yeah.
HDMI 2.
Your TV
That was easy, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, okay. Well,
okay. And I did an update yesterday on the TV per the TV's instructions, and it has taken away my ability to, when I hit the button that would normally take me to it, it took me elsewhere. So
you have to speak slowly and clearly.
Clearly and distinctly.
It's like you're talking to Josh.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I wanted to take a moment to just to wish my eldest daughter, we know her as Sunshine here on the At Home Show, Eliza Blair Carey, turned 25 years old yesterday.
Just blows my mind. Just blows my mind. My memory always goes back to the day when the girls came into the station one day
in their footy pajamas.
And the round mound was rousting up and down the hallway with them, having a large time. I'm not sure who had more fun. If he,
I know who had more fun.
It was him, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
They weren't mulch over victims, were they?
No. I don't think so.
He was svelte in those days. I mean, so
svelte.
Comparatively, yes.
But yes, my dear child, 25 years old yesterday, and that's Abby, by the way. Abby was accosting her. Abby is the new Maxwell dog. So
I see. Mm-hmm. Well, so congratulations,
a sheep-a-doodle.
25. That's what does that do to you psychologically, Josh?
It gets her off my insurance.
Okay. So you say wait. So I thought it was 26.
No, that's car insurance.
Oh, car insurance.
That's cheaper. I mean, so, but yes, it's well, it's, I don't want to call it sad, but it makes me feel old.
Time just keeps marching on.
Is she the one that has the boyfriend in
Rhode Island?
Is that the one?
Uh
huh. Oh, I'm just asking because I don't really. You have two daughters, right?
Yes,
or three.
Two
that I know of.
I don't know much about Josh, obviously. So,
well, you know, they haven't had the experience of being here physically. So that's why you don't know them.
Because you would know them if you had met them.
Well, yes. Obviously. Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right.
That's the way that works.
Yeah.
You don't know people you haven't met.
No.
Generally.
They're very memorable.
Oh, yeah.
They are.
So.
Okay.
615-499.
Say happy birthday to Eliza
Happy Blair. Birthday.
Happy birthday.
Sunshine.
Or yes.
The person I don't know. Happy birthday.
Mm-hmm. I hope it's a great day for you, or was. I guess her birthday was yesterday.
Yesterday.
So, yeah. Happy birthday. That's great. What a, gosh, it just astounds me how fast time gets by.
Well, I only had one daughter when the At Home Show started, David Bates.
Correct.
There was one in the oven.
You didn't have any when we first started broadcasting together. So.
No.
Would you guys say your Thanksgiving's relatively safe?
Yes.
Okay.
Except for the sharp objects in Poppy Joe's hands. I mean, other than that, I mean, it was.
I've been slowly introducing my son to the WWE. We've talked about this. His favorite wrestler is Drew McIntyre. What Drew McIntyre does to end a match is to run, throw his entire body through the air, and kick you in the face. So we're watching it on the Survivor Series, and Sam's like, oh, yeah, Drew McIntyre. And we're like, didn't think nothing. 2 days later, Catherine's sitting on the couch. She's watching Dancing with the Stars. Oh. Nelly's doing his thing.
Who?
Nelly.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, I come around the corner just in time to see Sam, who's on one side of the couch, runs as fast as the legs can, launches his body through the air, and then kicks my wife directly in the side of the head. And she goes, what were you doing? And he said, Claymore, Mama. Drew McIntyre. So guess who got in trouble for that?
You did?
It wasn't him. Bingo. Mm-hmm. It was me.
Well, you're the and one who's doing that bad influence stuff on.
What's on Netflix, Dave?
He wasn't.
I don't know.
He's not allowed to watch wrestling anymore.
What?
Yeah. Not while he's still real little, because he kicked her a lot.
Well, he kicked her right. I mean, did he pull the claymore off?
Oh, yeah, he pulled it off.
Okay, did she bleed?
No, but she got
no
hit pretty
blood,
hard.
No
in the
foul, man.
She got hit pretty hard in the temple.
I'm going to give this a shot. Go to HDMI3. Hey, it worked that time. So I don't like this voice thing. I don't like it. I did not know I was. I did not understand the ramifications, so I'm going to try to go back to factory settings before next week. But what you're seeing there is a look in the greenhouse.
Well, yeah, what would a reset be if you went back to your original factory settings, David?
I don't know. We'll find out. It won't be what it is right now.
Oh, my. This is the at-home show in essence, ladies and gentlemen. It absolutely is. So.
And we believe we have got Austin Lohan out. Austin Lohan, are you out there, Austin?
I'm here.
Okay, great. Oh, wonderful. We can hear you. I didn't know if you could hear us or not. So,
welcome
back to the at-home show. Of course, you may recognize Austin from Talk of the Town. He's been a guest on there a couple of times, and I'm certain he will be as we roll into the spring season, but we're a bit away from spring. Matter of fact, we're staring down the pipes of Christmas here.
That's why he's got that sexy winter beard.
It's coming on quickly. Talk to us about poinsettias, Austin, and what is it that makes it so interesting in Christmas time?
Well, it happened from a man named Joel Poinsett long ago in the mid 1800s. He was went to Mexico, brought back some cuttings, and it became.
He's not the first or the last one that's done that, by the way, but not necessarily of this particular plant.
That cultivar.
So poinsettias are native to Mexico, and they can be trees there, you know, about 30 feet tall trees. So he found them interesting and brought them back. Interestingly enough, they never used to be what they are now. They were kind of leggy, little kind of almost small trees, if you will. Then Mr. Ecky from Ecky's Ranch out in California,
right,
decided to start breeding these a little bit better. And he is still the number one producer of poinsettias across the country. And he created much more bushy habits, a lot of different colors. I think there's over 500 named varieties now of poinsettias. So it's become our Christmas flower for the season, and it's still the number one most sold plant in the U.S., and we only sell it for about a month, which is kind of insane to me.
That is really insane. And of course, what a lot of people may not realize, and once you turn around where we can take a look at the poinsettias on the camera there in front of you there, Austin, but what we call what is commonly we refer to as flowers are actually what is botanically known as bracts. These are modified leaves. Actually, they are not blooms. The blooms are the yellow part in the middle, right?
Yes, right here. You see that? Those are actually the blooms. And then, like you said, these are the modified leaves, which are called bracts.
So I just spilled all that out there, but I stole your thunder. Sorry about that. But talk to us about, you know, you mentioned the number of cultivars that he's produced. We've got quite a number of different types of poinsettias. They're not just red anymore.
No, look at these pink ones. I mean, these are pink with a splash of cream on the edges right here on the margins. That's a really pretty little plant. They've even used now, they got white, which is cool to me. It's amazing you can go from red to white. Some of these white ones are real pretty mixed in with the red. And then you can even breed those two. What Carrie's looking at over here with these little red glitters right here. You get a lot of red and white splashed all in the same plant.
Now that is really awesome right there. So, you know, it regardless of what kind of color scheme you've got going on, there are poinsettias available. Of course, they also come in pink. I don't know that we've even got any pink ones right now.
Little baby ones,
look
a little cute.
But little small ones to quite large ones.
These have been all the rage. It's funny. They just take a little cutting and they put it in a pot and they get color change to happen. And we can sell these cheap, but it's just great for a top of a counter. We got a whole bunch of them. We probably got 100 of them right now.
Now, Austin, those are not edible at all, are they?
No, they're actually poisonous.
Yes.
You kind of want to. They won't kill your animals or anything. You'd have to eat a lot of them to actually kill it.
But they don't taste that good either.
Yeah. They don't taste good. No.
Let's talk for a minute.
Euphorbia plants.
You talk about
leak a little latex.
You talk about color change on them. A lot of people talk about, well, you know, I want to put my poinsettia in the closet, make it bloom and all that. Talk to us about what the effects that day length have on the production of the color that emerges on poinsettias.
Yeah, so that's kind of a let me switch over here so y'all can see me. Or I'll just keep looking at. Hold on, here we go.
There we go.
So poinsettia color change. It starts about mid-November is whenever you want to start thinking about doing that. And if you keep your poinsettias through the, over the years, you're going to have to initiate color change. So it happens with day length. Whenever the days start to get shorter is whenever poinsettias try to change their color. So if you're inside your home and you have lights inside, they're not going to allow for good color change. So that's why we say to take them to the closet. So you're going to about mid-November start taking them, you know, you put it into the closet early and let it get dark. You don't want it to turn, you know, real dry inside the closet. Don't forget about it. But let it sit in there for about 8 to 10 days is really all it takes to initiate color change. And then once you start to see color change, it will finish. So you can bring it back out into a window, give it some sunlight, give it some water, and it will finish for you. And you can, you know, keep your color change going throughout the years.
Now, they've done a couple of things within the industry to make those things a lot more consistent, reliable, and easier. The practice of what was referred to as black clothing was done for a long period of time, probably still is done in some places, and that is to shorten the day length. And they would do that every day, cut a couple of hours of day length off, starting at maybe mid-November or maybe even earlier than that, to get them to start the change of the bracts, get that going along. Also, a lot of it has been greatly enhanced. You talked about Paul Ecke, the big developer of poinsettias, is that genetically they have figured out how to make them naturally change with more on the schedule of the actual day length, so they don't have to do so much black clothing.
Yes, exactly. Nowadays, for the most part, like you mentioned, you can just keep your poinsettias in a greenhouse and let the natural day length that starts to shorten naturally, it'll just go ahead, and like most of the cultivars now will change even with that. So like you said, you don't have to do the black clothing anymore. It works pretty well.
But if you have lights in your greenhouse, don't go in there at night and check on them, because you will screw up
everything.
Yes,
going
you'll
up.
Screw it up. Uh-huh. And I have actually talked to one of the growers that I used to grow with a long time ago. I used to grow, to 2,000 to 3,000 poinsettias. And he said this year specifically has been just an amazing year for poinsettias. And it kind of shows. All the poinsettias we have right now are just full, big leaves, lots of color. And that's been because of our warm temps we've had and a lot of sunlight this fall. He said it's been for the past, he's been growing them for the past 30 years, and he said this is by far the best year he thinks he's ever seen with poinsettias. So it's a good time to get them in the home.
Now, do they naturally have the glitter on them that you find in when you have to adopt one from the grocery store?
No, unfortunately, they don't come with glitter. That's been added by a human.
Now, what did they glue it on there with is what I'm concerned about.
They probably just use some kind of a spray gun that spits the glitter and already coated with a sticky substance.
Now, Josh, as we just talked about, had two girls. He ought to know that glitter just sticks to whatever.
No, glitter was banned from our home last century. Oh. No. It's insidious.
So what's the trick, Austin? How do they make it stick on there? They don't
You know, it's a good question. I've never had to do it. I don't like them.
Well, you know, I think it looks weird. Those of us who are actual horticulturalists don't stoop to such marketing measures. You know, that's just not our deal. We would rather have, we love to have the interest in the various colors on the bracts and the marbling and the variegation on those. But we'll leave glitter to some other parties. We don't really. It's just, it really makes it, it cheapens the look of it to me, yeah. And particularly when you've got florist quality poinsettias like we have, you know, to the perhaps untrained eye that, you know, a poinsettia is a poinsettia, but you look at that there, what has that got, like 15, 18 bracts on it at least? I mean, it is loaded all the way around.
Yeah, it is. And one little pro tip you might want to think about whenever you are growing them is pinching. That's how they get these to get so bushy. Like I was mentioning earlier, they can get a little leggy if you just let them grow. So whenever they're young, if you take the tops out of them,
it's getting a little leggy.
See multiple stems, and you'll get a full plant.
Hey, David, I think you've told this story, and I remember it vaguely as a child when we lived in Hawaii, that they actually grow these things as hedges.
Oh yeah,
and they're absolutely stunning.
And I see them the same way in Mexico. You know, they're either used as an individual specimen, or if you put them in a hedge, you can trim them back, and they'll make a beautiful hedge plant. And they do wonderfully when you're in a Mediterranean to tropical environment. But obviously they won't do that outdoors here. You know, we're getting ready to see that big change occur coming up in the next couple of days.
What is the hardiness for one? What, 50 degrees? 45?
They could probably go 45. You really don't want them to go. Generally, what's the low temperature in the greenhouse typically on poinsettias for growers, Austin?
We don't want them to go below 40 at all if we can help it. Right. They can take it. I've seen them take it, but they look so bad in the morning, it takes them a while to perk up. If they're not well watered, whenever you dip below 40, they suffer, and they look tired for at least a couple of days. So try to avoid that. As much sunlight as you can give them.
Yeah. And those pink ones are just absolutely stunning. I mean, they're just gorgeous. Mm-hmm.
So what else you got for us, Austin? Got any other seasonal tips?
Seasonal tips? After the Christmas season, I think, is something we ought to talk about. Most people throw their poinsettias away. I've actually mentioned this on Talk of the Town when I was there last. It's not something you should just throw away. It's not seasonal. I've had one for like 7 years in the same pot. It's turned woody. It looks like a little tree. It's kind of my little baby. So don't throw them away. Just whenever they start to get tired on top and those red leaves look a little rough, just cut them back. They respond very, very well to a cutback. So keep them going. Repot them and cut them back, and you can have a poinsettia for years.
Now, what may occur if you don't want to go to all the trouble of moving them in, moving them out, is that they will likely naturally start to change color in early January. If you don't do anything else, many of the older varieties, they'll be gorgeous throughout the month of February. So you can use them as a Valentine flower alternately.
That would be cool. Now, what earth mix product would you use then when you go to repot them in after Christmas?
If it were me, I'd probably just use our Proganics Eye, which is our indoor container mix. It's got it's a really well drained product, and that's what we want with poinsettias. Nothing heavy for poinsettias if you can help it. Most of the time, overwatering kills them a lot quicker than under does. They can go really, really dry before they actually die. So something well drained is nice, and our Organic size is as well drained as it gets.
And one of the things you mentioned is really important. They are not a low light plant at all if you're going to maintain them in the long haul. So you need to really have them in a window where they get as much sun as possible. And when you have them in less than optimal light conditions, overwatering becomes a greater problem because they simply don't dry out as quickly.
Yeah, exactly. And then what I like to do with mine is just bring it outside whenever it gets warm enough. Whenever night temps don't dip below 50 anymore and we get into the mid to late spring, just move them outside into the full sun. I mean, they can handle it. I'm telling you, they're a full sun plant in Mexico. So,
and they are a growing machine.
Throw more sun at it, you know?
Right. They are a growing machine once you get them outside. All right, Austin. Any final thoughts you got here for people, things they need to be keeping in mind with regard to care of their poinsettias or other plants that they're going to be receiving during the holiday season?
Well, I think we touched on most of it, the high light, low water, and don't throw them away. They don't need to be thrown away.
Yeah, don't give up on them.
Plenty of them. Don't give up on them. It's not nice to throw them away. We just received, I believe, about 300 poinsettias right now. Every single one of them are picture perfect. So y'all come on out and buy them because we got them.
Austin, one quick question, though. The one that is really popular this time of the year is the Norfolk Island Pines, too. Now, they tend to get abused a bit after Christmas as well. Any tips on those?
Here's one for y'all to see, Norfolk Island Pine. Norfolk Island is off the coast of Australia somewhere, I believe, and their temps don't barely get below 52 often from what I've read.
Right.
But these plants can actually take it pretty cold, and they are extremely tough. They can be neglected and be fine. This is another one, though, you don't want to keep soaked all the time, and it's really an easy house plant. I've had one for years as well, and like another, generally the same thing as a poinsettia. Give them high light in your window. Try not to dip below 40s. But I've seen them take it below 40 just fine. I've seen them into the 30s and they live. So it can get scraggly whenever it has not enough light. So you see some lower limbs start to leave.
They start looking like an upside down tree.
A good window, you can have this for years.
Yeah, they start looking like an upside down tree where there's no limbs at the bottom and it's wide at the top if they're in really low or marginal light conditions.
Now, does it hurt the top one? Now, that was a.
Uh huh.
Yeah, you can What's do that? It, but it's
I mean, after
he was talking about cutting a back, cutting the top out of it. You could do that, but you lose the symmetry of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you've got 8-foot ceilings, what do you do when it gets to be 8 feet 6 inches tall?
You go get a shorter one.
Okay, I see. All right.
Or you can cut it back. You could do that. But if you've got 8-foot ceilings, chances
you can cut them back. They'll be fine.
Your chances are, if it's going to an 8-foot ceiling, you don't have windows going from floor to ceiling. So it's a tough place to have a tall one, unless you've got like a sunroom that really has light coming from overhead.
That's skylights. That's not floor to ceiling windows.
Well, I mean, got to get that light somehow. Hey, Austin, thank you much, buddy, for appreciate you coming on for a bit and talking to us about poinsettias and other things for the holidays. And come on out and see Austin and the whole crew out here at Bates Nursery. And thanks again for giving us some tips today.
Thank you, sir. Glad to be on. Appreciate it.
All right. 615-499-6690. Comment out there on the multiple pages. I mean, it's out there on the Facebook. And get everything rolling up in here. If you've got questions about the beautiful Christmas decorations, if you did, David, the crew did an amazing job in assembling what we have here in studio.
Well, and I did not thank him while he was on the air. Austin actually took Joy's place. Joy Bovin, who's normally does it for us, she had the day off yesterday because she's Slacker. Thursday. Well, Thursday's her normal day off, so Austin stepped up, and we appreciate it. Did a great job, and because he knew we were going to be talking about poinsettias, so he really loaded us up today. As you can see around, we've got that Norfolk Island pines and other heavily buried hollies around. So all these things, hollies and poinsettias and Norfolk Island pines are all things people associate as plants that they use frequently during the holidays.
And the rosemary trees are really cool, too.
They are quite nice. And, of course, they always smell wonderful. It makes you want to, for whatever reason, makes you want to put chicken on the grill.
Make bread.
And rosemary. Yes.
And rosemary shortbread cookies.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, that the Norfolk there right there. Now, you see them in the South Pacific, and I've seen them, and I know you have. They grew them, and didn't they import them into Hawaii so they could grow masts for the old sailing ship?
Oh, absolutely. And
that tells you how big that thing can get.
That didn't prove out, but they did use them. That was the intent for them at the outset. Hey, Josh, let's talk for just a moment. But we mentioned Proganics Eye there while Austin was on for indoor plants, and that's one of the great EarthMix garden products. Proganics Eye is especially formulated for indoor plants. And what makes it different, perhaps than a lot of the soils you're going to find, is that there's no peat in it at all. And what happens when you use peat in potting mixes, it is really attractant to greenhouse these fungus gnats that are, if you've ever seen those come up in the pots, that's because peat is used in there. And
fungus.
And of course, peat moss is not sustainable. You know, it takes thousands of years to grow it. Now, there's a lot of it up in Canada, but a more sustainable product is coconut coir, and that's the base product that is input that is used in Proganics Eye. It has no peat at all. Drains really well, as Austin mentioned, and it's also great for all your indoor plants, including poinsettias and Norfolk Island pines. But more than that, there are EarthMix products for every planting application, whether you're using EarthMix Garden. EarthMix Landscape is used quite a lot at this time of year, people planting trees and shrubs. So that's a great choice. And there are also specialty things such as Viragra, which is earthworm castings, and Magic Mushroom Compost. And the product that kind of... a lot of the products are tied to is EarthMix Supernatural, which is the premium organic compost that we produce. So no matter which one you want, you're going to want to find it around the area. Go to earthmix.net and click on the Find EarthMix tab. And once you're there, you just scroll down the page and you'll see all of the pins around, and you can zoom in on a location and find one that's nearest to you to help you find the products you're looking for. Just simply click on that, and it'll give you turn-by-turn directions to where you're looking for. Just remember this, success in gardening begins at the ground level when you use EarthMix garden products. And now, Austin, appreciate your attention.
For now, Austin was talking about this pinching thing. Does that work? Does it make certain people thicker?
What Austin is talking about is for plants.
Oh.
Yes. Pinching the plants. Now, pinching is another way, another method of trimming.
Oh.
And when you cut something back or trim it or pinch it, what you've done is you've shortened the leggy growth, and you're inducing multiple breaks from a point just below where you have pinched it. So rather than having a few number of, very few number of individual stems, you produce many, many more branching stems. It makes it much thicker. Hence the reason when he was holding up the poinsettia, and as you see these here in front of us, heavily budded all the way around, even down underneath, because they had been pinched properly, have enough breaks to produce the bracts necessary to give you that amount of color.
The breaks and the bracts.
The breaks produce the bracts.
The breaks, okay.
What about the brocks?
The brocks?
Yeah.
That's malted milk balls, though, isn't it? That's brocks. That's not breaks.
Or bracts.
Nonpareils?
I don't know what those are.
615-499-6690.
He was so very specific about pinching. Now, you wouldn't, is that different?
You could use a pair of scissors or a pair of little hand pruners.
Because poinsettias, they are kind of sappy. I mean,
they are a little sappy. They get weepy. Yeah, and
all the time anyway.
They maybe shouldn't cut them so much.
They do have that milky latex type of sap in them, and if you ever accidentally break a leaf or whatever, you'll see that run out briefly as it comes out of there. So you want to handle them carefully. So they are a little bit fragile. So a lot of care is taken.
A lot of turgor pressure in there if you've got it, but the viscosity of the stuff seems to be. It's almost like hydraulic fluid.
It's pretty sticky. It's pretty sticky.
It's nasty.
Yeah, well, I would call it nasty. It's just, it is what it is. So check out your poinsettias and make sure, do what Austin said. You want to water them thoroughly when you water, but they need enough time to dry out, and they need to be in bright, sunny location. The less light you've got them in, particularly if you're just one of those people who buys them just for the holidays, if you're that kind, make sure you give them enough time to dry properly between waterings. The risk of damage due to overwater is at least as great, if not more, than underwatering. They kind of remind you when they get a little dry, they'll start to droop
a little weepy.
If you're paying any attention at all, and I'm not saying that, everybody always does, but yes.
615-499-6690. David, I brought you a small thing for the lending library here at this last week. This is an older edition. We're redoing the Carey Memorial Library, but that plant book right there is a really good one. And if you can still find it out there, it's a right place in the right book.
Author is Nicola Ferguson. And I have not seen this book before, so I'm looking forward to it.
It's a very, very good one.
Looking forward to getting into it.
Lots of pages.
Not just ornamental gardening, but also
full-color photographs.
Yes, very nice. So they're looking forward. I know the staff here will enjoy digging into this. The likes of Joy and Austin both, who are both really excellent horticulturists. I mean, everybody here is, but especially
geeky. That tagline for years, right plant in the right place the first time.
Well, the definition of a weed, one of the definitions of a weed is a plant out of place. And so the whole concept behind getting the right plant in the right place is to make sure you differentiate what you're planting from something that could be misidentified as a weed. Things that are, all perennials are weeds somewhere, pretty much. Now, there have been a lot of cultivars developed that have certain attributes that have been developed, but originally they started out as just a naturally occurring plant that somebody.
That's cool. Let's go dig it up and take it in there and propagate.
What about crabgrass?
Crabgrass is still a weed.
Okay.
I don't know of anyone who has developed a perennialized version of it. It seems to do well without any major cultivation at all. And what you see is what you get. a lot of weed and a lot of seed. And it seems to be very persistent. So, you know, it's a very easy
plant. My yard loves it.
Oh, it's a very easy plant to grow.
It's got good ground cover. I mean, it spreads well.
Yeah, it will keep erosion from being an issue. So, so that is something to be considered. I do want to touch again for just a moment. We talked earlier about the weather and just be aware we're going to have some pretty significant changes. We've had really mild conditions throughout the fall, but we're getting ready to see a change beginning Monday where there's going to be some rain in the morning and probably just a little snow showers at the very tail end of it, which is as it starts to clear out, 24 for the overnight low. So it'll be rather brisk on Tuesday morning with a high temperature of only 40, only 39 on Monday. So we got a couple of days there in a row. It's going to really be chilly, a little warmer on Wednesday before it moderates a bit, but you know, cold showers Thursday and Friday. So welcome to December. And this is the kind of the onset of we're having a La Nina year this year. And of course that,
does that mean more snow, like a chance for more snow?
It means that you're going to have kind of a more normal winter, but it could be on the drier side.
Oh, good.
That also means colder sometimes when
sometimes
it's dry.
It means that. So it's, you know, there's not a definitive thing you can say, but there are tendencies towards it, perhaps being a little colder, perhaps being a little drier. Remains to be seen, but one thing for sure is the we're going to have to deal with the changes that La Nina brings. And, you know, one of the things that can also be a byproduct of it, and it's not necessarily true, is drought. So going in through the winter months, you've got containers that you have things planted in. Be mindful that, you know, as I mentioned last week, we were forecast to get perhaps 2 inches of rain. We barely got 0.2 of an inch of rain. One day we only got 0.02 of an inch. So, you know, it's a lot of times the forecast is, while some areas may have gotten a substantial amount, others didn't get much at all. We certainly did not here. We're looking at perhaps close to 1 inch of rain forecast for tomorrow. You might want to check your rain gauge if you're not, and containers that you have around. Before we go into cold weather, and I know it sounds counterintuitive, but you want to have things watered thoroughly before you go into it. Now, lower 20s or upper teens is not severely cold, but when things are above the ground in a container, the soil temperature changes much more quickly. The water fills the pore space and reduces how quickly that soil temperature can change. So it does add insulation to the soil. That's why, even though the water does freeze, it does keep the soil from getting as cold as quickly. So that's why you want to do it.
All right. Bill Hayes is watching. Alita Robertson is watching. Joyce Hay is watching. Joyce has.
That's my mom.
Yeah, I know. She really likes those pinks and mottled poinsettias. She likes those. And we have a question from Sally Sledge Walker. She wants to know, when should she have taken her amaryllis out of the dark basement, David?
Bates? When should she have?
Uh-huh.
I would have said probably June.
Oh.
Oh, it's a bit late?
Or early. Okay. At this stage, it's hard to tell. But, yeah, you know, that's typically, you know, my wife, Renee, is an avid amaryllis grower. And she will put them in about this time of year. Wow. She'll take them in out in the springtime and divide them up, because you know they'll get quite huge, and repot them, and they really just explode and do wonderfully. But yes, now that said, it doesn't mean that they're dead or won't come back out. Now what'll happen is that you'll see a lot of this very pale looking growth coming out of them, and they might not bloom as well as they would have otherwise, but That's a general rule. That's a good idea. To, you know, you can bring them out then and enjoy them in the spring. The bulbs that you buy out in stores have been refrigerated and kept dormant at the right period of time. So unless you're set up to do that, it's more difficult as a homeowner to be able to time those specifically. And that's what all these forced plants are about, is about timing and building in enough dormancy and pulling them out and giving you the opportunity to be able to pot them up and grow them off.
I know I can see someone watching us from Arizona, David Bates.
Arizona.
And we have a Donaldson watcher on the Facebook Live.
Well, you know, I had a brief chat with old Saint Nick yesterday, by the way, and he was one of the
Zoom meeting.
He was wanting to make sure that this was not the Christmas edition. I assured him that this was not, that he would be made fully aware. And I don't know whether.
The holiday edition, as it were.
The holiday edition, yes. Mm. So the holiday edition will be coming up, and Santa will be among the first to know. Hey, Josh, I want to talk for just a moment about Bates Nursery and Garden Center. That's where we are, here every Saturday morning. And we try to carry everything you can think of for trees, shrubs, ground covers. We have been doing, for the past month, our Tremendous Month sale. That's for our Bates Rewards members. And now that sale has been enhanced. It's now 33% off all deciduous trees. Now, that's excluding Japanese maples. In case you don't know what deciduous means, that means it drops its leaves. That's what that means. So, but all of other shade, ornamental, fruiting trees, we've had quite a tremendous inventory. We have reduced it down a lot, but there's some tremendous savings out there to be had for you. So if you're looking for a tree for your yard, it's a great opportunity to come out and shop and get those here at Bates Nursery and Garden Center. And if you're not looking for a deciduous tree, we also, as you saw, we have a complete array of poinsettias, Christmas cactus, Norfolk Island pines, all the things for indoor decorating, including garland and wreaths. So we have all that. So come on out and see us. I will remind you this while I'm thinking about it. We're now closed on Sunday. So we close. We're open from 9 until 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. We are now closed on Sundays until March. So invite you to come out and see us. We are conveniently located 1 mile north of Briley Parkway at exit 19 on Weiss Creek Pike. And Josh would say that's 0.9 mile.
And I'd be correct.
And the rest of us would say it's about a mile north on the left-hand side. And we appreciate you coming by and see us. Any of our landscape professionals would be glad to help you, no matter what your question is or in what area we can get you a good and correct answer on that. Come out and see us, Bates Nursery and Garden Center, beautifying Nashville since 1932.
Now, something he never talks about is the showroom up front, David. I mean, Michael. I'm looking at David. I'm talking about it.
Actually, you're looking at me, and you're talking about David.
Yes, I am. But you never talk about the checkout area and what you have in the selections and stuff that you have up there.
Well, I mean, we have such
pottery,
a tremendous amount of pottery, a tremendous amount of organic fertilizers and other organic oriented
clippers, trimmers, sticks.
All kinds. We've got white birch poles up there, you know, which are really a great decorative item at this time of year. So, you know, there's a lot of, we have more things than I can possibly name. So
carnivorous plants.
We do have that.
Yeah, so, those are fun.
Yeah. So if you've got like too much bologna,
a little leftover turkey.
You might have, it's going to take you a while to work that off with a Venus flytrap, but yes, you could probably over the course of some period of time. I don't know that they naturally eat turkey, but they probably are not opposed to it.
Get one to sit still long enough.
Well, it might. Very small one. So, yes, check all that out. We'd be happy to have you come out and see us. Remember, we're closed at 4 o'clock today, and we will be closed tomorrow. So, that just started this week.
615-499-6690.
I got a funny little video to show you guys if you want to watch it.
Sure. Let me see if I can do this.
Tell it.
HDMI 3. BMI.
I think you got to like hold it close to your mouth.
HDMI 3.
If you got a BMI 3, then we're all in serious health problems.
HDMI 3.
Dun, dun, dun.
Really, all right. So that's my little boy.
Yes.
And this was, Catherine was trying to film him saying happy Thanksgiving.
Okay, do I need to have audio up on this?
Or? I got it.
Oh, you got it. Okay.
Yeah, I got
you. I got the TV muted, though, is the problem.
Oh, we don't need that.
I don't need
that. Oh, okay, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Samuel, say happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Oh,
look at that fat Patsy.
Happy birthday, that's
No, it's Thanksgiving, baby.
Happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, my mama. Thanksgiving. Mmm.
That sounds sweet, baby.
Cheese.
It's a video, baby.
Giggle.
I didn't sign the release, man. I'm out of here.
HDMI 1.
Yes, that, what a cutie. He'll be 25 years old next week.
Yeah, I'm sure he will be.
Trust me, 25 years old next week, man.
He was saying happy birthday.
HDMI 1.
It will not. Well, there's a picture of us.
There you are. That's a great looking fan, but I cannot make this.
There's a YouTube result, David.
HDMI 1. Am I enunciating so poorly? HDMI 1.
All right. You look like you're about to throw it.
I'm ready to erase whatever settings are on there and go back to however it came out of the box. I'm not pleased with that.
You want to know a great secret about something?
What's that?
Since you've updated it, if you set it to its default settings, it's still just goes back to what you've already done because you can't un-update it. I don't think you can.
I think you can set it back to factory settings. I think you can.
Hmm.
I think I can.
Gosh, I want to believe
it. I'm going to try again.
Once they get their hooks in there, I hope that there's a way to get out of it. But I'm not pleased with that method, or I've got to figure out how it's every time you do it manually, it goes back to the voice control thing.
I hate that.
So, yes, I did not realize what I was.
Try it in Spanish.
H-A-D-M-A-E.
Uno.
Uno, si.
Si.
Yeah. So, 615-499-6690. You're here with us at the At Home Show. We're here every Saturday morning from 8 until 9 o'clock. We've got about 9 more minutes here. And we are... We generally talk about landscaping and home improvement. Maybe. We haven't had anything on the home improvement side today, Josh, at least with respect to your area of expertise.
What's that?
Which is the...
The whole reason why you're here?
Yeah, If it weren't for that, why would we just... We need something...
Just eye candy, folks.
And, you know, that... he's a legend in his own mind.
Well, here's a question for some people may be asking. Mm. So it's Christmas time. They're getting ready to set up their lights. What's the best way to get those lights wired properly so you're not going to burn down your house? Like, do you need
outside lights?
Yeah. So you need like a timer? Do you need, I don't know.
Well, you know, what makes lighting so much easier are the advent of LED lights. Because the amperage draw is just a minuscule percentage of what it was before.
That is very true. But you know there's some families out there that's busting out lights from 1973.
I got C7s. I got C9s too, man. Got
them great big ones. I mean, bubble lights, the whole deal, you know. So, yeah, I still like all that, but they are a power hog.
Yes.
I can remember seeing some homes back in the day, particularly out in Brentwood, some really big homes that had multiple generators that they would run every night to run all of the lights.
Keep the breakers from popping.
See it from space?
Possibly, but, you know, the difference is now that you could get the same amount of net light output through LEDs.
Absolutely.
With just light extension.
And a much brighter color and much more broader color spectrum that you can see.
And they also...
The biggest thing is just be careful on the ladder, folks. I mean...
There are LEDs that give you the ability to be able to change the color and the temperature of the light. So that makes it nice to be able to do those kinds of things and... not have to be getting up and switching them. There,
does Sam know that if you don't have Christmas lights on your house, Santa Claus can't find it?
That's not a problem.
Oh,
our Christmas lights have been up for about 3 weeks.
So there you go. I have some neighbor friends that have these permanently installed lights.
Really?
That they can turn on and then remotely change the color of them so they can, you can't see them. They're installed into the soffit.
Ooh.
So you can't see them when they're not turned on, but when you do turn them on, and you can, if you want them orange and a white for
Halloween
or Thanksgiving, and then magically you could change them to green and red or whatever color scheme you're looking for.
So it's almost like they get like a light strip around the edge of their house.
It's essentially what it is, or multiple light strips that they can change. So anyway, those are pretty cool. And that would be my style of, I think my.
Do it once, get it over.
Yeah, I think my best latter days are somewhat in the rearview mirror. That's just my feeling.
Just from the top of the roof.
Well, yeah. with my propensity in year 2020 of a sustaining knee injury, it's kind of taken my the thrill of ladders away from me.
How's your hand, by the way?
My hand is just like it's going to be until I elect to have yet another surgery. So, yeah, that was my other injury this year. So, yeah, it's been eventful. In 2020,
clean your ear out good with that one though.
it doesn't bend at the middle knuckle, so I hear that the scar tissue can be cleared out around the tendons. And
you're gonna go in there and get your pinky scoped.
Just might, uh-huh. But wait until the bone is completely healed because it got broken after the first time it was repaired.
It was an operator error, I think, in that
it was, and I wasn't the operator. There was someone else working on my finger.
Technician.
There was somebody working on my finger, and the question I asked prior to it is, do these ever break as a result of receiving therapy on them? And go, well, it has happened, but it's very rare.
Crack.
Famous last words. Anyway, I've had two surgeries on that finger this year. Which is two more than I planned on.
Well, you can just be like Trace Atkins. You know, he had his hand messed up, and he had his pinky fused in a way that he could always do a G chord.
Yeah. Well, I'm right-handed, so much it would be my left hand. So I can't play guitar any better, but it's no worse than what it was before.
Yeah, claw hammer with the banjo. Then you'd be good to go.
There you go. Uh-huh.
I think that's how it works. I don't play the banjo, so.
All right, we want the At Home Show wants to send out a get well soon to our friend Pamela Furr, who is.
I did not know Pamela was under the weather.
Pamela got the Rona.
Oh, my word.
Yes.
Is it hit her kind of hard or hit her not at all? Or?
She's asking for prayers, but I mean, again, she's sick and she's by herself because she didn't go home for Thanksgiving. Yeah. So she's a sweetheart.
Mom and dad.
No, but she's a sweetie. So. Want her to get better of it as soon as we can.
Well,
anybody else?
We do send special thoughts and wishes out there. You know, this is a difficult winter for all of us. This is the winter before we have the vaccine, and although it may be just ahead of us, and certainly there will be professionals who are in line first, as they should be,
yep.
Who need that protection. It will be coming for the rest of us here, and this is one of those years for all of us who have been fortunate enough to have survived it, quite memorable, and it's not being without its difficulties. For everybody, so whether you have contracted coronavirus or not, there have been no shortage of difficulties and unusual circumstances to adapt to. So hopefully, I don't know that life ever gets back to the way it was before, but hopefully we'll get a little closer.
Let's just go back to the 80s.
I don't think I want to go that far back. I don't even remember the 80s.
Is 2020 going to become like, on an elevator, it skips the 13th floor? So we're just going to go back through the history books. It'll say 2019, 2021.
Yeah, I hear there are some buildings in Manhattan that have like a whole range of floors that they have no 20s on them at all.
It's weird.
To make them a taller building on paper. It's a 67 when it's actually only a 57.
Oh, wow. It's like steroids. They ought to be fined.
Misrepresentation. Yeah. So anyway, but there's all kinds of tricks like that, but they're my dad had problems as a young guy of of stammering. So he would never try to say the 13th floor anyway. He would go to the 14th and walk down one. That's a true story is what he used to say. So,
oh, my goodness gracious. All right, folks. Music Means that this edition of the At Home Show is coming to a close. But we invite you back next Saturday morning for the Alive broadcast. Yeah. Go out, find the podcast. You can find it anywhere. Get it there. Yep. Go out to YouTube. Subscribe, please. Tell your friends. Yep. Tell your neighbors. Give gift subscriptions if you can.
We'd like to stay live on YouTube.
We certainly would. We'll be going to other. We're going to LinkedIn. We're going to try to look at all the other platforms that are coming up. But we're going to be here.
Yep.
We got all plants. Got a camera. Got everything going on.
Yeah, and we got a lot of guests coming up here, and maybe some
music.
Those of musical interest in the coming week. So we're looking forward to that. And so thanks for joining us today, and hope to see you again next week.
All righty, folks. For the entire At Home Show crew, we thank you for being here. We'll see you next Saturday morning for your tradition, the At Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates.